Has anybody ever dealt with stress? That's a silly question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight, just for a few minutes, just talk to you about from stressed to blessed. You know, Psalms 44 says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust." You know, most people would probably read that, "Stressed is the man because he does not make the Lord his trust." You know, stress is something that we hear about all the time. And actually, it's actually a part of life. You can't get away from it. There's all kinds of things that's going to bring stress to you. You know, a doctor told a man one time, he said he could only have a job where there was no stress. And he said, "Where could you find a job like that? And if it existed, what kind of job would it be?" You know, the real story about stress is that it actually becomes harmful to you physically. It will tear you down spiritually. But you can go from stressed to blessed. And I want to talk about causes and then on the other side, spiritual application. You know, I think as we look at it, one of the things that brings stress is change. Most people do not like change. And someone said there's nothing permanent except change. And as we live our lives, I think all of you here can say that you've had to deal with change. You know, dealing with change usually results in dealing with unexpected. You don't know what to expect. Dealing with change sometimes requires extra work. Now, many years ago, and this is many years ago, and I don't know what it would be today, but many years ago, a poll was taken. And, you know, I see all these polls. They put them out, especially about political stuff. And I wonder if the people that are talking about the polls, really have they really looked at the situation? You know, I mean, they'll take somebody right here, like somebody running for one of the Senate jobs here, you know. Well, they had a really huge crowd. And at their meeting, and then the other candidate didn't have very many at his meetings, but yet they said the guy that didn't have hardly anybody, he was leading in the polls. Well, I said, this sounds crazy to me. I said, if this guy is running for the Senate and he has his room full, and this other guy doesn't have hardly anybody, how can he be ahead in the polls? Anybody ever figured that one out? You know, I think polls are sometimes, I think it's who they talk to. But anyway, this poll said 31, this is years ago, 31% of Americans had a number of things in common. They liked apple pie, baseball, and vanilla ice cream. But they also had one thing in common that they did not like. And I bet you can guess what it is right now. Change. You know, change comes to all of us. But if you have Christ as the unchanged center, your anchor, then you won't be stressed. Although change might bring stress, you don't have to be stressed. See, the unchangeable Christ becomes the center of everything. And no matter what goes on around you, he's the same. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, "I'm the Lord, I change not." And then in Hebrews 13:8, of course, we all know that one, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." You know, we will all experience change in our life as long as we're breathing. There will be change. Yes. But it doesn't have to be stressful. You just have, when you have Christ as the center, He's unchangeable. God's unchangeable. So I am in Him. Now all this stuff may be going on around me. Change may be going on around me. But God never changes. He's the same. The Word of God is the same. Just like Pam said, that was a stressful situation. But she kept quoting the Word of God. Because it don't change. Everything else is subject to change. But God doesn't change. Now another thing that can bring stress is conflict. And, you know, we don't like conflict, but there's conflict in families, there's conflict on the job, there's conflict sometimes just walking down the street. Somebody don't like what you, how you're walking or something, or they bump into you, or are you accidentally bump into them? They want to, you know. But we need to realize that even though there is conflict, and it is part of life. How many of you have lived all the years, and I'm looking across here, and I see that a lot of you are close, in my age bracket. Okay. How many of you have ever had a conflict in your life? Well, I got most of the hands raised, and the rest of you should have been raising your hand, because all of us have experienced some type of conflict sometime in our life, whether on the job or whether we're in school or sometime another. But you see, if we have Christ at the center of everything, conflict can be going on around us, but He is our peace. So we don't have to be stressed in conflict. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." You know, so many times people begin to, "Oh, I know change is coming. Oh, I've had conflict." And then they get in all kinds of stress. No, hey, it's going to happen. Just realize that we have the peace of God. Change is inevitable. Conflict will be inevitable. It happens to everybody sooner or later. But conflict may be around us, but it don't have to be in us. The peace of God is on the inside of us. You know, we have peace. You say you have peace in the midst of the storm. Well, conflict causes a storm, right? See, concentrate on the promises of God and what God said, and not on what circumstances are saying. Circumstances say a lot of things, but that does not negate the Word of God. The Word of God always is first place, and it will nullify the circumstances. It will nullify the stress. Now, another thing that brings on stress is criticism. Of course, probably none of you have ever been criticized. I've been criticized, and I'm still being criticized. I mean, all you got to do is go on the internet and Google my name, you know. But somebody said to me, "Doesn't that bother you?" I said, "No, don't bother me." I said, you know, so I don't care what they say. Just because they say something, it doesn't make it so. And then, you know, if you allow criticism, the first thing that you got to do with criticism is actually look at what's being said and see if it is actually factual, and then you need to change. If it's not factual, then you need to let it go. Forget it. But don't become defensive. See, many people become defensive. The minute somebody says something, they become, and they get in an argument. You know, I've had people they come up, talk about, "I don't believe what you believe." I said, "That's your problem, not mine." And they want to draw me into an argument. I'm not going to argue with them. The truth is the truth. You know. But, you know, sometimes people want to argue about salvation or some other truth of the Word of God. Well, the Word of God is truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, that's a very simple statement. Some say, well, you know, we can do this and get saved. No, you can't. You have to accept Jesus Christ, what the Bible says. You know, we need to realize that truth bears out in the Word of God. Now, some people will criticize you for what you believe. Have any of you ever been criticized for what you believe? I have many times. But you know what? I don't let it bother me. I just go on. I'm not going to get stressed out. And I've run into Christians. I've talked to them. You know, I've been in this all my life. My dad was a minister when I was born. I've been preaching 59 years myself. And I've run into people just because somebody criticizes them for what they believe. They got, I said, they come to me, what am I going to do about it? I said, nothing. I said, is that affecting your salvation? No. Is that affecting the Word of God? Is that changing God's Word? No. Well, then I said, why are you letting it even bother you? Well, I just don't like people talking about me and saying stuff about me. I said, well, hey, don't worry about it. You know, people, I guess I'm sort of funny, but I just don't let nothing stress me out. My dad was that way. I guess I got it from him. He just, you know, I mean, somebody would say something to him and he'd say, God's word's God's word. If you don't believe it, that's your problem. I mean, that's just the way it is. And we really, when you get to that point, it doesn't matter what said or done, the devil can't get you in distress. Now, another thing is that we become worry brings on stress. Now, there's a difference between being concerned and worrying. You know, anybody ever know who Mahalia Jackson was? She was a singer. She said, God can make you anything you want to be. Here's the catch. But you have to put everything in God's hands. You know, have I ever done that little sermon that I do over here using that one little word? But I've never, I'm going to have to do that for y'all. I got a sermon. I'll pull it out and do it for you. I do it on the road quite a bit. But I'll pull it out and do it for you. Because when you put that butt in there, everything changes. You know, see, it says, 1 Peter 5, says, cast all your anxiety or your care on him because he cares for you. Your worry, in other words. You know, being concerned about something will cause you to go to the Word of God, will cause you to go to prayer. Worrying yourself about it, well, you'll lose sleep and you'll get all stressed out. But if you don't worry about it, go to the Word. Go to the Word of God. You know, Matthew 11, 28, 29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Hello. Yeah. See, just look. Don't allow the enemy to bring things into you that's going to get you off track of following the Word of God and what the Word of God says. That's what the enemy's trying to do with all of these things that I'm bringing up. This is just a little lesson that I want to teach you today, because I've noticed and run into people lately that are all stressed out about everything. Well, I could be stressed out about everything real easy, you know. We've got the church, the school, 250 of them in 50 nations, the ministerial association. All of this, it all depends on us. And I mean, you know, and they send you a purchase order up, you know, for a huge amount of money, you know, because some air conditioner's gone out or something, you know, some like over at that main campus. And you got to realize we got 110 acres and I don't know how many buildings, 17, 20 buildings, and they all got furnaces and hot water and cold water chillers and all of that. And you got all of these cooling towers, they call them, outside. And that one there has been there since 92, since the church opened. If you've been over there, it's the building that sits out here on the east side. That's where all the chillers and the furnaces and everything, and there's a big cooling tower sitting out there. If you drive by and look at it, you'll see that it's all rusted out. And they sent a work order up. It's going to be $300,000 to replace the thing. But until we got to replace it, because we don't have no cool air, we don't have no warm air if we don't have that cooling tower, because it's part of that system. Now, I know that figure about blows your mind, but hey, when you're yours too. Yeah, she's the chief financial officer right there. But we could stress out over that, you know. But hey, I just say, hey, God, this is your thing. It's not mine. I didn't plan this in the first place. It's you. You just asked me to do something. I started doing it. Now it's your job. It's your job. See, you got to learn to relax in the Word of God and in God. Now you may have something it may be a smaller amount, but it's just as stressful. See, everything is relevant depending on where you are, you know. I was down at Daytona. Y'all all know I like car racing. And so we were down, I was preaching down in Florida, and we went over to the Daytona Speedway, and you could ride around. I'd love to drive it, but anyway, off. But you could ride, so I strap in, put the helmet on, you know, and everything, and I'm sitting over here, and the guy, he goes through the gears, and he sets that speed up to ride on that, on the big five. I think we was doing around 5,500 RPMs, and I asked him how fast we're going. He said, oh, we're doing around 160, 170, somewhere around that. And of course, I've driven race cars before, and there was only one corner. We come in that one corner, I would have slowed down for it, but he kept it right there. That needle didn't move. And I noticed something. The first lap around, everything was a little bit blurry, you know, and I was seeing signs I couldn't read. I noticed the second time around, I could read all the signs. I could see everything. You see, you adjust. If we're not careful in life, we adjust to the stress rather than taking the Word of God and getting rid of the stress. He does not want us to stress. He said, cast all your care, your anxiety, your worry on me. Now, there's another thing, if we're not careful, that can stress us out, and that is the enemy comes to us and begins to talk to us about, well, you're guilty of this, and you're guilty of that, and you just ought to be thankful that you even got saved. Don't think God can do anything else for you, you know. But we need to realize that, hey, once we become a part of the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that person doesn't exist anymore. So don't let past mistakes. I've talked to so many people over the years in the office, and some of them have been Christians for a long many years, and yet their letting past still bother them, still causing them a problem, they don't have peace, they're stressed out. And I said, the person that did those things doesn't exist anymore. The Bible says that it's gone. Don't even think about it. Amen. Hello? How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But how many of you have ever had the enemy come to you and try to get you all stressed out over the past? Let me see your hand. Yeah, all of us. He comes to all of us. But that's where we have to just say, that's where you come back to knowing who you are in Christ. I'm not going to be stressed over this. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come in and tell me about something that don't exist. The only part of it exists is a photo that the enemy is bringing, trying to get you stressed out, because it doesn't exist. It's not there. It says, behold, all things, old things have passed away, and all things are new.
Yes.
Come on now. Now, I'm talked about how the things that cause stress and the things that can help you to get through it. But now, are you spending enough? See, if you're spending enough time in prayer, stress won't begin to bother you. And are you committed to the things of God? Or are you just half-heartedly going along? Ooh. See, I could have talked all night and not said that. And then, are you really seeking first the kingdom of God and other things second? Whoa, y'all getting quiet now on me. Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But many people are seeking things. No, you seek the kingdom of God first, and it says these things will be added. Come on. Then, many people get stressed out because they set goals that are unrealistic.
Yes.
Come on. So, make sure you set your goals in line with Word of God, and that they're realistic in line with the Word of God. And then the last thing we need to do is to just eliminate, eliminate all those things. Just forget them. Hey, see, you go from being stressed to blessed when you experience God's help.
Yes, amen.
And you apply the principles with the proper priorities from God's word, then we're blessed. Amen. Thank God for that. Anybody get anything out of this tonight?
Amen.
I just wanted to give you just a little quick. I've seen too many people being stressed in the recent days, and there's no use to be stressed. All right? And see, I'm giving you back 5 minutes tonight. So next week, I can take 5 extra minutes, okay? Because I'm banking that, see? That way I can go overtime. All right, everybody stand, please. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. As we've talked to the people, thank you that our words will have found lodgment in the hearts that needed what was said. I realize that everything that was said wasn't needed by everybody, but something that I said was needed by somebody. May each of us take what was said that was needed for us. May we make the adjustments to live a stress-free life with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the heads bowed and the eye closed, I never like to have a service that I don't give opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. Somebody said, well, everybody here knows Christ. Well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. If you happen to be here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you. Or if you're here and you need to rededicate your life to God, you've lost your faith, I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible says? Not somebody's church creed or doctrine. The Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts 2, verse number 4. Anybody there? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank God that we're all born again in this place tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Does anybody want prayer for healing? If anybody wants prayer for healing, we'd be glad to pray for you. Well, praise the Lord. I guess everybody is healed and whole and healthy. Well, praise God. Hey, fellowship, there is some goodies out there. I think there's some left out there in the social hall out there. So, and if we have first-time guests here, thank you for being with us. Praise the Lord. And we'll be here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So shake hands with people. Enjoy the week. And God bless you.